Hey friends, this is Mario J. Radford. I'm the pastor of Growth Point Church, and this is our podcast. I pray that it connects, leads, and maybe introduces you to a growing and life-changing relationship with Jesus. Now let's go into the message. Don't ever get caught up in, I need music, I need a choir. No, you don't. You need a heart. You need a heart that the scripture says in Psalms, he says, as the deer pants for the water, my soul longs for you. My soul means sometimes I can be so emotional that I'm not even in your presence, but my soul, I pursue you even when I'm wrong. I pursue you even when I'm not in the right place. I pursue you when things are not working right. I pursue you when nobody else is around you. I pursue you, my soul. Someone said, my soul. David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, my emotions. What that means is I command my emotions to bow to your will. I will not become so emotional that I stop believing in God. I submit my emotions to your word, and may your word speak to my emotions. You need to grab your emotions. Everybody just grab your emotions right now, whatever it is, whatever's going on, grab it and say, submit to God. I don't care what it was, what it is. You're not bigger than God. There's a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, everything come into submission. Come into submission. You need to take your family and say, obey God. Some of you need to grab your finances and say, obey God. You're not broke, so obey God. Submit. Submit. Jesus. Yeah. That's how you really praise. My praise, it's a declaration that no matter what state I'm in, what's the song say on that? Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. I don't always feel it, but I say it until I feel it. Did you hear me? I say it and I speak it until what I say becomes what I feel. I speak increase. I speak joy. I speak peace of mind. I speak that this week will not be a bad. I will not dread tomorrow. I will not dread it. I won't say, oh, it's Monday. Oh, I'm saying, oh, this is the day. I could be broke. This is the day. I could be unemployed. This is the day. I could be hooked up to IVs. This is the day that you have made. I choose to rejoice. Someone say, it's my choice. All right. I didn't plan to go there, but hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I called, now I'm coming back. Now I'm coming down. I called Stacy this week and I said, how do I come to Growth Point next week and preach behind the machine that you are? She said, oh, brother. She is a machine. Can we give God praise for Stacy McDonald and the word? I was on the plane from Israel to Germany in that plane. I was listening to it on my phone. And at some point, I think I was speaking German. I was like, gosh, gosh. I was like, ooh, Jesus. Yes, she was preaching. I said, Lord. But I thank God for Caesar and for Matt, who also filled in doing Bible study while I was gone. Thank you so much for your ministry. I don't take it for granted. I am not the best thing about this church. You are the best thing. We are a body fitly joined together. I just happen to be the leader of this ship, but I thank God for every last one of you and what you add to this church. All right, I'm gonna get into the word so Jermaine doesn't talk about me not staying in my time limit. So he's gonna talk about me anyway, but I pray for you and you pray for me and watch God change things. I did not put the Bible, I didn't put the lyric, whatever you call it. I didn't put the notes in the Bible app, so take that off so I don't feel bad about myself. The vision and the mission. Thank you, musicians. Thank you all so much. The mission and the vision. I'm going to start here before I go into the word because I want to continue to reinstill this every single Sunday until we all get it. The mission of Growth Point Church is to lead and connect lives to Jesus at every point. It's more than a mission statement. It's who we are. It's what we're striving for. We want to make sure that everything we do is always based on that mission statement. We deliver the mission of our leading connecting lives to Jesus through four core values. We have four core values of the church. Our first core value is to know God. That's what we do on Sundays, to make sure that anybody who's far from God gets an opportunity to know God. Then we take you from knowing God to finding freedom. Truth of the matter is, everybody wants to be free from something. Now, you might not tell anybody, but somebody wants to be free from something, and we do that through our small groups here. And then we want people to discover their purpose. Everybody has a unique design. Everybody cannot braid the hair the way you braid the hair. So we need people because we need to make sure that when we put our weave in, that it's right. And so we need somebody that's able to do that. So we want you to discover your unique design, because everybody's gift is not singing in the worship team. Everybody's gift is not preaching, and that's good. And you need to know that. We don't want you to embarrass yourself and go live and people like, baby, no. So we want you to discover your purpose and discover, you know, because I grew up, I grew up not a particular church in my young adult years, but I grew up in a lot of churches where we would call deacons to preach because they could pray a certain way. Any of you who grew up in traditional church like that, the deacon, this evening, Heavenly Father, head bowed and body bent, Lord Jesus, we pray for the preacher and the man who's going to stand in John's shoes, and Lord, in the dying hour, I don't want to see Peter and I want to see John, but I want to see Jesus, the man who died for me, Mary's baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Oh, Jesus. So I grew up Baptist. I can do it anytime I want to. Oh, Jesus. So we would do that, and everybody would be like, wow, all this stuff. And we would say, you sound like a preacher. And then that deacon would come up and do his initial sermon and try to sound like everybody he's heard. So it wasn't a calling. It was somebody choosing an occupation for them. There are many people today, we be honest, who are only doing what somebody told you you're supposed to do. And because you don't have a relationship with Christ, you are fulfilling somebody else's desire for you and not what God called you to do. I'm still trying to figure out what a preacher is supposed to sound like, because I don't really know. I just believe he sounds like me, because I don't know what else to sound like. He made Bishop Jakes the way he made him, made everybody else the way, but as far as me, I don't have a preacher voice. It annoys me when your preaching voice is different than your natural voice. There was a guy, it's not live, so I can say that. There was a guy while I was in Israel who I called him Martin Luther King, because I couldn't say good morning to him without him sounding like he was ready to take a text. So I would say, good morning. Good morning. I'll say, this is a great trip. Yes, it is. I mean, every time I'm just like, man, we're sitting here at the Sea of Galilee, aren't we? This is the place that he cast out demons. And I was like, dude, you make me itch. I mean, he was just, I'm like, we're in Israel, dude. I mean, you can't get deeper than the Holy Land. Come down. Come down, Zacchaeus. I mean, it was just, so there are people who think there is a sound of the preacher, you know, and it's just, be who God called you to be. If you hood, be hood. If you ratchet, be righteous and ratchet. Whatever you are, they appreciate the fact you be like, this is just what it is, huh? You heard facts. You just need somebody. Just come on, tell somebody, this is who I am. Look at somebody, say, it's what I am. It's what I am. You better be like Aretha Franklin and say, if the Holy Ghost hits me, I'll snatch this thing off. Do what you gotta do. Just be who you are. God anoints who he called you to be, not who you want to be. He anoints who you are. Some of you need to call your parents and say, I'm tired of being what you want me to be. I can't live out your dream. I hit something. I can't live out your dream for me. It might look a little bit different than what you called. I remember, I love my dad. My dad, the good Reverend Dr. Moses Lee Radford. And I love him. I do. The good doctor. I love him. And my dad, when he preached, he was like, yeah, whatever. But anyhow, I love him. But my dad, we had to make a crossroads at some point because my dad has an idea of what I'm supposed to dress like and what I'm supposed to sound like. And when we started Growth Point Church, he told me I named it the wrong name because it's supposed to be called Growth Point Baptist Church and all that stuff. Thank God it's not. But anyhow, and he said, I'm supposed to wear suits and supposed to wear white shirts because my dad used to only preach in white shirts and dark suits. So when I started wearing this, he was like, you don't even look like a preacher. I was like, Daddy, what does a preacher look like? You know how you was raised. I mean, and he would get upset about things, and it's okay, but I told him for the people that God has called us to, if I came in here with a suit, some people would feel uncomfortable. Now, some people say, oh, you're trying to change. No, I'm not trying to change the gospel. Paul said, I have become all things to all people that by some means I might gain the more. So that means I've had people many times who are around me, and when they see me, they want to put out their blunt. I said, if you were smoking before I get here, continue on. I'll just leave here with a contact high, but continue. I'll be like, ain't he good? He give you a high that blow your mind every time. I mean, I don't know. Welcome back. But what I'm saying is, pray for me. But what I'm saying is, someone doesn't have to change because you show up. We have to love people through it. That's what God has called for us to do. And then lastly, we want people to, I got caught up. We want people to make a difference. That after you discover your purpose, we want you to make a difference. So that was all I was doing. So our vision for this year, 2020, is for us to level up. We have four core values that we have. I mean, that we're doing four pillars of this 2020 vision. We're stretching out in our faith. We're moving forward in our commitment. And we're expanding so that we're not just a church that meets in four walls, but we're reaching out of the four walls. And lastly, that we are moving into expansion. God is enlarging us, and we are pursuing that, and we'll talk more about that really soon. So we want to continue to pursue that. So now I'm ready for today's message. All of that was introduction. I'm ready for the message now. Will you stand? Let's go into the word right now. Let's go into the word. All right, y'all ready? Are y'all ready for me today?
Yes.
All right. Erica said no, I ain't ready. All right, go ahead, lift up your phones, your iPads, your tablets. If you need notes today and you love to kill trees, they do have notes for you. Go ahead and raise your hands. They will make sure you have it today. I apologize, I did not put that in the Bible app. That is my problem, I'm sorry. But those of you who need notes, just lift your hands. They will make sure you have notes. While you have your hands lifted, let's go ahead and let's go and make our confession. Come on, one, two, three. This is God's word for my life. I read it, receive it. I'm going to Hebrews. We're in Hebrews 11 chapter. Y'all know that. We're going to the 13th verse. And the 13th verse says this. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking, someone say seeking, they are seeking a homeland. Go to my next verse. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out of, they would have had opportunity to return. But 16 says, but as it is, they desire a better, someone say better.
Better.
They desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared. Someone say prepared. Prepared for them a city. I want to talk today from this declaration. Everybody repeat after me. Say, I refuse to stay here. Say it again. I refuse to stay here. Look at someone, say, don't let me. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to give you a disclaimer as I go into this word for the next 30 minutes. Hopefully, give you a disclaimer. You will go through something. Your vision will be tested. You will experience it. You will go through it. Some people say that's not positive. I'm positively sure that you will go through something that will test your faith. As some of us have gone through, you know what? I am at a point right now where I said, Lord, if one more person dies, I'ma scream.
Yeah, that part.
2020, and we want to continue to lift up Courtney. Her grandfather passed. We want to lift him up. But this year, 2020, has come in to let us know it's here.
Yes.
And some of the people who have died have not been old. And when I say old, I'm talking about, you know, what I used to think was old. I'm sorry, Mr. Leon. I just, you know, now I'm just like, death is an equal opportunity. It'll come to whoever. But it's been one of those seasons where it seems like one thing after another thing is coming. And before you can process one thing, you hear another thing. Anybody felt like that? You've experienced that? Where before I can process one person, something else happens. And it's been a whole lot of different things that have happened. I didn't choose this scripture before I got here. Didn't even know why I was going to particularly read this scripture before this particular day, but God knew that we needed to hear it. When what I am challenged by today and what I want to challenge you and really encourage you is what I hope I do today is encourage you, because those of us who are left have something we're supposed to be doing. If he hasn't called your name yet, then your assignment is not fulfilled. You're not through. Someone say, I'm not through. You're not through yet. And I want to talk about this as it relates to this particular scripture, because Hebrews 11 chapter, and I want to say this, some of you think you're through, but you're not. And when you don't use the opportunity that God has given you, you are wasting God's air. When God breathes life into you, he breathes it for a purpose, not for you just to exist. In Hebrews 11, chapter verse 13, this is what I'm encouraged by. It says, these all died. Everyone died. But this is the part that I don't want you to miss. These people all died, Brandon, in faith. Someone say, in faith. This is important. It says, they died in faith. This is the part. Not having received the things promised.
Come on.
How many of us have not yet received what we know God has promised, but we're not living in faith? These people all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles in and on the earth. The first point I want to tell you today about refusing to stay here, you have to refuse to stay a living doubter and become a dying believer.
That's right. Amen.
Many of us are living, but you're living doubting. If any of us started to pass the microphone and ask you what you're believing God for, or different things that God has spoken to you through his word or whatever, and you know it's going to happen, you're like, yeah, I believe it's going to happen, but it hadn't happened yet. Or you got a job, I like it, but. Or you got a child, I like him, but he turned to a teenager. And you have all these different things where we are beginning to be, we are living doubters. And you know, I was speaking to a student the other day, and one of the students said to me, they said, I would believe God if it wasn't for y'all. They said, because I'm not a Christian and I want to be, but every time I'm around Christians, all they do is complain. So how am I supposed to be a part of this saving faith and to be a part of this supposed to thing that's going to change my life, and y'all don't believe you'll change your life? I see y'all shouting, but the same people I see shouting will also cuss. And the same people I see shouting also sleep with me after their concert. So I'm really confused if you really believe this thing is real. So you're telling me to believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in him. But you say, I do. I go to church, and that's all you do. I haven't seen any change. I haven't seen any difference. I haven't seen anything happen in your life. And you say, and what we do, what do we Christians say? We say, I ain't perfect, and that's the problem.
Right.
We are not, but we are in progress. But just because I'm in progress does not give me excuse to continue just doing whatever I want to do. Because Paul said, I don't want to make sure, I want to discipline myself so that I'm not considered a hypocrite to other people. I'm not always right. And if you talk about me long enough, I might tell you something about your mama. I might go down your street, possibly. But after I got finished, I say, I'm sorry. He's still working on me. But a lot of people are wanting to believe in Jesus, but they can't get to Jesus because of us. These people in this particular scripture says they all died in faith. I don't know how to instill that more in you, to say that even if I'm going to die, I'm at least die believing. I was at the funeral of Evangelist Bree yesterday. She was a lady, wonderful lady who died 33 years old. She's done more in her 33 years than many people have done in 60 years. And she died, and her mom said that even before she went unconscious, every time they came into the room, her hands were lifted. Was hooked to IVs, hooked to machines, but our hands were lifted to say, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down still believing. I don't know if he's going to heal me. I don't know if he's going to bring me out of this hospital, but I'm going to die still believing. Is there any of us who can make that declaration in your life to say, even if God doesn't do what I'm believing him to do, I'm still going to believe him till the last drop? Someone say, I believe. I don't care if you don't believe, but I believe. I don't like where I am. I believe that there's more than this. These people all died in faith, not receiving, but they saw them from afar off. Has any of you seen something afar off, but you ain't grabbed it yet? You see peace, but you ain't got it yet. You see joy, but you haven't got it yet. You're trying to go after it, but you see everything else but that. But you're still believing that eventually I'm going to pursue this. Eventually I'm going to attain this. He says, I don't see it. I don't have it yet, but I still believe. Someone say, I believe. Now, why is it here? Why did I make the point to say refuse to stay a living doubter, but become a dying believer? Why did I say that? Because in here is, in Psalms 27, verse 13 says, David said, I would, go to my next scripture. He said, I would have lost heart. One version says, I would have fainted unless I had believed. Let's just stop there. I would have, by this point, given up if I hadn't believed. There are some of you who can put up with what you put up with because you believe that it's not going to stay like this forever. Is there anybody in the room that says, I don't know when it's going to happen? I don't know when it's going to change. I would have fainted. I would have believed unless I would have fainted unless I had believed. He says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. He said that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, where is the land of the living? Many of us think that this is the land of the living. I'm sorry, boo-boo kitty. Yeah. This is the land of the dying. So that means I've got to have heaven in my view. I would have fainted unless I believed that there was something better than this place. I cannot live in hell and then die and go to hell. There's no possible way that I'm going to go through all of this stuff I go through here and then die and continue that saga. Someone said the devil is a liar. Oh no, I would have fainted unless I believed that there was something better than this. Someone said something better. That I would see the goodness of the Lord. That's why in verse 14 he says, wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Don't get anxious. Don't think he forgot about you. Who am I talking to? Don't think that he's overlooked you because everybody, you have worn the bridal dress for everybody else's wedding and you think that he's forgot about you. He hasn't forgot about you. Wait on him. Just look forward. Don't look at nobody beside you. Wait on him. He says, and be of good courage. And here's the word, and he shall strengthen. You might be weak. You might be in a season right now where it seems like everything is falling apart. But he will strengthen you. Someone say, I will have it. He will strengthen you. He won't leave you depressed. He won't leave you like that. There's no way. That's not the God I serve. He's not like that. The God you might serve might be like that, but the God I serve, I can't find it. His record is proof that when even the wicked come upon me to eat up my flesh, every time they come upon me, they always stumble and fall because he won't let any bad thing happen to me. You want word for it? Even in Job, it says that even when Job was tested, the only reason that Job was tested is because God allowed it. And why did God allow it? Because God wanted to prove to the devil that no matter what you throw at him, he'll still trust me. Some of y'all are blaming God for what you're going through. But God might have been bragging on you in heaven and saying, try them and see how good they are. Try them and see they'll still believe me. They'll still trust me. Remove that car from them and they'll get on wheels and get to church. They'll do whatever they got to do. Someone say, try me. We don't sing songs like that anymore. We sing songs, we say, try me now and see. See if I can be complete. We don't sing that anymore. Now we say, how you gonna pay your bills? Oh, yeah, everything's about what I can get. But where are the people who say, try me? Make sure I'm what I say I am. That's why it says, wait on the Lord. Be a good, because we have right now in this season of our life, a lot of us, we have what we call tattletale ministry. I'm so busy wanting you to know what somebody else did, and it deflects from what God could do in my life. So God can't change me because I'm so busy focused on what everybody else is doing. But if you would do like the Williams brothers said and sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. Just look at somebody and say, just sweep around your own stuff. Sweep around your own stuff. I'm so focused on what I got to change, I don't have time to be focused on you. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Hebrews 11 chapter verse 14, and it goes on, and it says, for people who speak thus, these people who speak these things, they make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. This is the part here. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out of, they would have had opportunity to return. This next thing is, you have to refuse to stay a roaming wanderer and become a reformed traveler. What does it mean when I'm roaming? When my phone says roaming, which it doesn't, but if it says roaming, those of us who used to have, you know, remember how many of y'all used to have those phones that you couldn't talk for free to after 7? People will call you, be like, my minutes hadn't started yet. I aged up. Some of y'all are like, what? Y'all got unlimited everything. But some of us remember Tanisha. We remember, we were like, call me after 9. 9 o'clock. And then we can talk. And then we'd be like Tevin Campbell, can we talk? All right, whatever, sorry. So we would be able to talk then. Sorry, Ned. We would be able to do it after 9. But for a lot of us, because we were trying to preserve our minutes. And then some of us had rollover plans. I'm sorry, I'm aging myself. But when we used to have roaming, you would be charged because you weren't connected to the tower. You weren't near a tower, so you were roaming. You could answer, but you were very conscious of how long you talked until you got connected to another tower. And there are a lot of you who you've been roaming and you haven't been connected to a tower in a long time. So you're roaming around looking for somewhere to go. And there's nothing more dangerous than a person roaming. Where you have no direction, you have no aim, you have no goal, all you're doing is roaming. And for some of you, every new year means nothing but another year to roam. Some people roam from relationship to relationship. Some people roam from church to church. Some people roam from business to business. And what is hard is that they never look at themselves, but they blame every place they've been. It's always a coworker. It's always my mama. It's always the daddy. It's always somebody else. It's always him. I can't find no good men. Have you ever thought maybe you're not a good woman? Woo! Could you ever think possibly that it could be you and not them? But we're always roaming, and we are not connected to a tower. You have the inability to assess oneself. So here it is, when you refuse to stay a Roman wonder, these people said, this is why I said this. It says, these people said they could have, according to this verse, they made it clear. Hear this. They made it clear that they were looking for home. Home. They made it clear. Because if they had not made it clear, their thoughts could have took them back. When you say you're delivered, have you made it clear what you're delivered from? Because if you haven't made it clear, you provide room for imagination. So they made it clear. Take me that scripture. Take it up there. He says, we made it clear that they were looking for home. They said, but no, the scripture before that. Go up. The scripture before that point. He says, I made it clear that they were looking for home. Not that scripture. Go up. Gary, go. He says, we made it clear they were seeking home. Verse 15 says, because had they been thinking of the land from which they had gone out of, they would have returned. Some of you, sadly, are not really delivered. Because if the opportunity comes for you to go back, you'll go back in a second. Isn't it sad that we often say what we are when the person who tempts us is not around? And I'm not talking about you to take it where you want, but I'm saying a lot of us make declarations about, oh, I wish they would, and then they come around like, I'm like, why you make that same noise you were making a few minutes ago? Say the same thing you were saying. Keep the same energy. Whatever you were saying, continue that dialogue. Continue saying what you're saying. You're like, I wasn't saying nothing. Yes, you was. But they made the declaration to say, I'm seeking home. So if anything shows up that's not home, I'm not even going to it. Because I've made up my mind that my only destination is home. Because if I think about what I came from, because what happens is sometimes we glorify our past and make it better than what it really was. Our version sometimes of what happened is always better. We were always the victim. Nobody else did it. They did it to us. Always. We always come out the hero. We always come out. But if we tell the real truth, maybe you are a part of your own demise. Possibly. But we don't want to own up to that and say anything. But if we would really tell the truth, we say, you know what? I made a wrong decision. I moved forward before I should have moved forward. But they said, if I think about where I came from, then I had an opportunity to go back. But to be a reformed traveler means, reformed means, I have made or I am a changed person. Let me give you the right definition because I want to make it up. Reformed means that it's having been changed in such a way as to be improved. Reformed means I'm too changed to go back where I was. I have overcome too much for me to go back now. It's not that there are not some things that I miss about it, but I've come through too much and overcome too much for me to go back to that, to even think that I would survive it if I go back and visit it. And there are some of us who play games with fire and think you can still handle it. But there are some things you have to say, I can't be near it. I can't be around it. Because I don't trust me. Come on, tell the truth. Stop being so churchy. I don't trust myself. I love Jesus, but I also love what I came out of. And if you put me in a bad situation and the lights start going and the music starts bumping, I might just back this thing up. So don't put me in the wrong position. Oh. Don't push me. A little twerk is still in me. It's going down on the ones and the twos. Just don't push me, please. And there's some people that we have to really, you have to be able to tell the truth about yourself. When someone puts you in a situation, be like, oh, you changed. I haven't changed. I'm changing. And because I haven't changed completely, I don't trust myself to be in a situation. And I'm too old to play games now. Oh, shoot. I'm too old. When I was young, I had a whole lot of time to waste. But at this juncture in my life, I don't have time for you to come and visit me if you ain't putting a ring on it. I just don't have time. If you don't have no house, don't come visit me. If you ain't got no job, don't take me out to Chick-fil-A. If you ain't got nothing to add to me, I can do bad by myself, boy. I don't have time. Your abs don't mean nothing. They don't pay the mortgage. STDs look good too. You fine, but you got something, and I don't have time to be scratching in my late years of my life. I'm sorry, y'all weren't here for this type of church. I'm sorry. Y'all want me, won't he make a way? He will when you do. All right.
Welcome back.
I'm too informed to make dumb decisions. I'm too informed. I know myself. I know me. My children are grown now. I ain't got time to have no new ones. You ain't that fine. I don't have time. I'm 40. I don't want to be 65 going to a high school graduation. Don't have time. Just don't have time. We ain't rapping it. We ain't playing safe. We ain't doing nothing. Tell somebody I ain't doing nothing. Why did I go down this way? I'm sorry. That's what reform means. I'm sorry, Arnett. This ain't that type of church. Reform means I'm too changed to be dumb now. Just because your weave looks expensive, I still know it's nappy under that. I know that. I'm too informed. I'm too informed. I'm too informed. I don't have time.
Sorry.
Y'all help me. Get me out of here. Get my children out of here. Get me out of here. Woo! All right, April, stop it. But this is, Matt, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all stop trying to behave. We got guests, stop it. Don't make them think this is a ratchet church, stop it. Shoot, turn down for what? Woo! All right, so, listen. Stop it, y'all. Alexis, I'm sorry. Look. Somebody said, go back to Israel. No. Look, this is how informed, listen, this is how reformed Joseph was. Joseph was about it. Listen, Joseph, Genesis, go to my scripture. Genesis, go now, go there. Come on, hurry up. Come on, team, y'all got to keep going. I'm flowing. Genesis, the fifth chapter says, Joseph said to his brothers, listen, these are the same brothers, my dear. Not Medea, Maida, my bad. Medea was rising up in me, I'm sorry. Maida, I'm sorry. Joseph said to his brothers, now mind you, his brothers were the same people who sold him out. They were the same people who were jealous of what he had. They were the same people who he would not have gone through what he gone through had it not been for them. Now Joseph has an opportunity to be in a position that's going to bless the people who actually ratted him out. Joseph did nothing, but now Joseph is in an opportunity to make sure they are blessed. Joseph, instead of retaliating, Joseph blesses his brothers. Some of you won't know you're really changed until you get an opportunity to get even and you don't take it. I need an offering. You won't know that you are really changed until you see the person who did you wrong and you hug them instead of hitting them. Some of y'all, somebody rolled her eyes like, psh, whatever. You won't know you're changed until you get an opportunity to be in the same room as the person you know what they said and you don't retaliate. So Joseph was in a better position. Joseph now says his brother, he says to them, he said, I'm about to die. He said, but God's going to visit you, and he's going to bring you up out of this land to a land that he swore, that he promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Verse 25 says, then Joseph made the sons of Israel. Israel was his dad. He made the sons. He said, God will surely visit you. Some blessings are not even because I deserve it. These brothers didn't even deserve to be blessed based on what they did. But because of the promise God had made before they were born, God had to deliver on the promise he made. Do you know that there are some things that you will walk into because the promise God made to your grandmother and made to your big mama and made to your granddaddy? It's not that you did anything, but because somebody died in faith believing that somebody from their generation was going to be more than what they were. He said, God will surely visit you, and you will. This is what's part on it. He says, you will carry up my bones from here. I don't want you to miss that. Don't miss it, Marissa. He said, I'm going to die in Egypt, in the wilderness. I've been blessed in the wilderness. Because don't overlook, Joseph was blessed in the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
In Egypt.
Yes, sir.
He said, God's going to take y'all out of here and put you into a promised land.
Yes.
He said, I have so much confidence in God that I don't even want you to bury me where I was blessed in.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
I died in the wilderness, but don't bury me here. Take my bones. I won't be alive to see it, but I want my bones to rest in promise.
Glory.
Come on.
He said, when y'all leave here, don't leave me. I want you to do whatever you got to do to put my bones, put me in a coffin, do whatever you got to do. But wherever y'all go, take me with you. What type of faith do you have that you can die saying one day somebody in this family is going to do something great? I might not be there to see it, but when you do it, you better mention my name. You better say, Grandmama said I was going to be. You better mention my name. Take my bones from this place. Someone said, I refuse to stay here. He said, I'm so reformed that I don't even want to stay here. Last thing and I'm through. Through. Where am I at? This last scripture. Yes, last thing. This is what I want. You have to refuse to stay here when you're called to be there.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
That's important. The reason that I refuse to stay here is because it's not where I'm called to be.
Come on.
Whenever he calls me, whenever he calls my name, Lucian, come here. I don't know how long it took Lucian to get up here. You don't have to come stop. You're going to try to take the microphone, ain't you? But in order for Lucian to get here, I had to call him from there. Lucian wasn't here on his own. He didn't just walk up here, because if he walked up here, security would have said he was disturbing and would have blocked him. But when God calls you, he will call you from wherever you are and bring you up, even when everybody else. See, what happens was everybody else was still sitting, but God specifically called Lucian up here.
Come on, come on.
I'm asking you, how many of you are sitting when he's actually calling you? It takes a whole lot of courage to walk forward when everybody else is sitting. And for this next stage in your life, it's going to take a lot of courage for you to do what nobody else is doing. for you to go where never no one else is going. But the reason I'm doing it is because if he called me, he called me from here because he wanted me to be there. Now, I don't have to know why he wants me up here. But I do know if he called me, he has to have a purpose for me. Clap your hands for Lucian, who came up. You go sit down. Thank you very much. And this is why it's important for them and all these people in faith. It says all these people died in faith believing. They believed that there was something better. They believed that there was something better in their life. And because they believed that something was better, God honored them for what they believed. Yes. To be able to say this according to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and verse 1 says this. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. Someone say, I have a building. Kill me, but I'm still going to live. I am not so tied to this tent. Tent means it's not even permanent. If my earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, I have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I want to ask you, how sure are you that if you close your eyes right now, that you know where you're going? How sure are you? I know you got your praise breakdown and you fall out and shout and all that's great. But how about your eternity? If something were to happen, do you have a building? Not this one, not this tent. And we don't have message anymore when anybody talks about death anymore. The only time we think about it is when somebody close to us dies. And then for 3 days, we're shook up. And then by the fourth day, we've gone back to scrolling on Instagram and Facebook and consumed with our life. But I want to ask you today, I had a friend who passed away, 39. It didn't just shake me just because she passed, but I thought about it. I was like, wait a minute. If something were to happen to me, I don't know. I have no clue. And I have a lot of my family, I talk about death often. I've already planned out my funeral. Please know that. I've already chosen the music. I don't want y'all to ever be so mourning and be like, what does he want sung? Oh, I'll tell you. A document will be delivered to you via email. Look for it, Courtney. But anyhow, but I want, I have to be, sometimes when I talk about my family, I'll be like, I don't want you to be talking about death, but I have to. Because what I know for sure is that all of us are leaving here.
Yes, sir.
Every last one in this room. We might not all be Baptist, we might not be non-denominational, we might not be Catholic, we might not, but one thing we all are is dying.
Yes, come on.
And at some point, someone will say, here lies so-and-so. And my question for all of us is, are you sure? Are you undoubtedly sure that heaven is your home?
Yeah.
Now, I want to sweep around this for all of my holiness people. For those of you who say, well, I haven't been living right. I got saved when I was young, and I don't know if God, you know, if I'm still saved. Let me tell you, God doesn't give you a gift and then take it back. You want word for it? The Bible says it's by grace that I have been saved. It is not of my own doing. I didn't do anything to get it. I believed and I confessed, but I did nothing. And that means I can't do anything to keep it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to continue to mess with the thing, but I am secured that no matter what happens to me, even if I'm off,
yeah,
that the blood has signed. My name is already written. So if this earthly tabernacle, if it does dissolve, I know that I have another building. That if I close my eyes in this life, I will wake up my eyes on the other side, and to be with Jesus and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But I want to know, do you know that? Are you sure of that? There was a lady named Florence who was a, and I'm through, Keenan, I don't know where you went, but there's a lady, she was an Olympic swimmer. And she had to be able to swim to this long distance Lake Erie or something like that. And she was swimming, and then there was a whole lot of fog. And all of a sudden, she felt like she couldn't go on, so she stopped. And when she stopped, they put her in the boat, and she said, how close was I to the shore? They said, you were just a mile away.
Wow.
And she said, because I couldn't see it, I stopped.
Come on.
Just because you can't see Jesus don't mean he's not real.
I want to take this time to thank you for your prayers, support, and generous giving that make this ministry possible. For more ways to connect, visit online at growthpointchurch.org. If you've enjoyed today's message, you can like, subscribe, share with your friends, or take a screenshot and share on your social stories and tag us at MyGrowthPoint. Until next time, keep growing.